the Moon, the podcast with Rob Nichols and friends.
Quite right, too. Issue 486, the Barnes edition. It's happiness, it's April, it's joyous, it's all wonderful. Isn't that right, Rob Nichols?
It is indeed, yes.
Yeah.
It's exciting times, actually.
Very much so. You know, the three old charity extravaganza, or not charity extravaganza, but extravaganza, which upset by, of course, the fantastic comeback against Sheffield United.
Yeah.
It's just win-win-win, really, for that point of view.
Except when we draw.
Exactly, sir. And we have a young work placement from the University of Sunderland who's with us today. That's Callum.
Hello, how are you doing?
Marvellous. Now, Callum, are you a Borough fan?
Yes.
Good. That's a good answer. In Sunderland, though, I have to ask that question.
Yeah.
You know, to be fair, there has been a precedent, Sir Andrew Glover. Oh, no, he went to Teesside University now.
He did, yes.
He just works up in Newcastle.
It's funny, actually, because there's quite a lot of... there seems to be a hotbed of Middlesbrough fans at Sunderland University who get in touch with me.
They need obviously that sort of strength and link with civilization.
They do, yeah. Reaching out beyond.
Yeah, precisely. Perhaps they're just there, you know, doing spreading the Borough word.
Yes.
That's the key thing there.
Converting.
In this particular podcast edition, which of course is the one for 486, we'll be talking about the end of season poll for 2010-2011. Yes, we've reached that stage already. We'll be looking at Southbank FC. Callum's article. We'll be having a look at safe standing and, in fact, this intriguing thing about Borough's Got Talent. Forget David Hasselhoff, Amanda Burton, and that Michael McIntyre chappy. You've got three much more talented judges for the whole thing, which we'll certainly be addressing and talking through. And going through the whole process. Okay, so let's just briefly review the games that we've just had since our last piece. Generally satisfactory, I would have thought.
Yeah, 4 points out of two away games has got to be really good. Mm-hmm. And obviously those 4 points have, well, mathematically we could go down.
To get relegated now, they'd have to do really, really badly.
We'd have to lose everything and the other teams have to be suddenly have the sort of form that would have seen them win the league, haven't they? Mm-hmm. So... very good, and obviously the excitement of that last minute winner at Sheffield United, and the sour grapes from Sheffield United, which with a bit of bad luck, the fact that it was that match was televised in Europe meant that there was an extra camera there. That extra camera picked up Emnes kicking a player, and he got 3-match suspension. Suspended just an hour and a half before kickoff. Against Ipswich, which was a bit, but so to bounce back from that, and then lose two players, Zamama with a hamstring, Seb Hines with a double fractured jaw, in their first half, and to draw 3-3, is incredible, really.
And yet, there's the cover of the fanzine which has vultures set to swoop. It's official, Borough are exciting again, just keep it quiet in case anyone notices. Is there a suggestion that with the likes of Joe Bennett, the likes of Andy Halliday and various others suddenly performing, that you'll get clubs saying, we'll purchase those?
Funnily enough, I think it was a few months ago that Tony Mowbray said that one of the ways he was trying to attract players to the club, even if we hadn't got the money to offer big salaries or whatever, was, look, the scouts here watching our players like Joe Bennett. Mm. You come here, you put yourself in the shop window, and things, you know, it might be a shortcut to the Premier League for you.
Look at Mr. Johnson and Mr. Downing.
Yeah, well, absolutely. There's two.
Yes.
Exactly. But let's hope we can hold on to the main talent for next season and build around it.
Callum, your entire university career has seen Middlesbrough in the Championship.
Yes, that's right.
So obviously challenging times for it from that point of view. What are your views on what Rob's just been saying and as a Borough fan in Sunderland?
Well, obviously the last few years haven't been great by any stretch of the imagination, but obviously it's great to see us playing exciting football again. Mm. And it appears that things have changed under Mowbray and... No, hopefully you can start pushing us on a bit.
Because you're too young to remember Tony Mowbray the first time round.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's just kind of one of those legends that you just sort of think, ooh, very important.
That's it. I mean, obviously everyone.
The likes of you, Southsiders, we're just not worthy for Tony Mowbray. He sat in the very same chair that you're sitting in now, actually.
Did he really?
He did. Yes, he did. Anyway, so it goes. I see we actually have a piece of poetry as well that Callum will actually read in the second part of the production. Let's move on, though, to the FM TTM end of season Peril 2010-2011, a 21-question salute in many ways to the season. With the usual player of the season, young player of the season, best game of the season, worst game of the season material, let's test Callum on this one, shall we, Rob? You know, just work through some of these, etc.
I think it's tricky, isn't it?
Well, it's not. Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's a viewpoint. It's not really a test. Yeah. I mean, there's no right answer, no wrong answer.
Unless, no,
you know, true. You say something like, you know, Hartlepool playing, you know, whatever. You know, no, sorry, they don't play that. Player of the season, Callum.
A very tough one. I'll probably say Joe Bennett, to be honest. I think he's come through really well under Mowbray.
I feel Jason Steele.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right.
I just think he sort of came through a whole range of other bits.
So you're both going to, I assume, going to say the same player for the young player of the season then, aren't you?
Well, from Jason's sort of perspective, yeah, I think it would.
And Joe's, you know.
Well, yes. So would you go for that? I'd say Joe Bennett.
Yeah, for both of them, I'd say Joe Bennett, yeah.
Best game of the season?
It's always hard not to avoid saying the last match, you know. But it's, you know, there's been such a big divide in this season between the Strachan half of the season and the Mowbray.
You should have two awards, the sort of GS awards and then the TM awards.
It was the same last season, to be honest.
Yeah, that's very true, very true. Any thoughts, Joe? When was last time, or Caleb, when was the last time you actually attended?
The Leicester match, actually probably say.
It was an exciting game, wasn't it?
It was an exciting game. Yeah. So
3-3, obviously, a consistent result here.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Watford was a tremendous comeback, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was,
With Danny Graham, but very good games, weren't they? Yeah.
Excellent. And worst game of the season? I mean, for me, it would probably be the FA Cup exit, really. I think that was probably fairly...
Burton.
Which quite literally Borough went for
I
think there was a few Strachan moments that were... I think my brain is
The bottom line with the period that we refer to as the GS time basically, is at least it served him as a wonderful audition for getting back onto ITV Sport as a pundit, basically.
He did, indeed.
He'll be there for the FA Cup semi-finals. You know he will. You know, with Gareth Southgate, you know, uttering words of complete inanity, but obviously being greeted by Adrian Charles as though he's sort of, you know, wisdom personified.
You've got to have been to Middlesbrough now to get on in punditry, haven't you?
I mean,
Andy Townsend.
Terry
Steve
Venables
McLaren?
A few years ago.
Yes.
You know, clearly, you know, it's a natural sort of routine. It's a finishing school.
It is a finishing school.
I think Steve Gibson and Keith Lamb need to bear this in mind, you know, that wing manager in Middlesbrough is not just, you know, a job in itself, but it's also a stepping stone to a media career. We'll talk about some of the other questions and the other sort of season things, plus, of course, this Borough's Got Talent thing, plus South Bank and a whole heap of other things after we take our customary momentary break.
Fly me to the moon. The podcast with Rob Nichols and friends.
I'm here with Charles Ather of personal injury solicitors Ather & Co. to find out whether it's faster to settle a non-fault accident claim through your insurance company.
There's no way of telling, as every case is different. But what I will say is that settling quickly may not be in your best interest. I wouldn't want to recommend you settle quickly for, say, £2,000, when, if argued properly, a claim may be worth much more.
Well, I know who I'd choose to look after me, Charles.
Choose the one you know, Ather & Co.
Call Middlesbrough, 222-575, or text advice to 81400 now.
Pharma Nord is the chemist to call for your nutritional needs. All of our products have been built on scientific research to help with your health. Pharma Nord can even help in such areas as senile dementia, strokes, and Alzheimer's. All our products are made in accordance with pharmaceutical standards and guidelines. And all our products are just one call away. Call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989. That's 01670 519989, or visit pharmanord.co.uk. Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
With over 80 ensuite bathrooms and high quality care for residents provided 24/7 by qualified nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides the perfect home for residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical and intellectual needs.
A purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick. Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate residential elderly, EMI and nursing service users, offering both short and long stay accommodation, as well as respite and daycare.
To find out more, please telephone 01642 30 81 88 or email us at info@rosevillecarecentre.com.
Roseville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Charles Arthur of Arthur & Co. has important information for anyone injured in an accident at work. Go on, Charles.
Many people don't realise that in law, employers have a huge duty of care. Even if your actions contributed to the accident, you may still be able to claim compensation.
So even if you think you may have been partly to blame...
Yes, talk to us and we'll be able to advise on whether you have a claim.
Call Middlesbrough 222575 or text CLAIM to 81400 now. That's CLAIM to 81400 now. Choose the one you know.
From Middlesbrough to the world, this is Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
Quite right, too. Okay, I think we're up to the goal of the season question in the FMTTM end of season poll. Callum, your choice for goal of the season?
I don't think you can look much further than Tam or Kink.
Both of them.
Tamo rhymes with Palmo, as we've said, you know.
Yeah.
A goal without the cheese. Fantastic. Yes, great stuff. Rob?
Yeah, it was a sensational strike, wasn't it? I'd like to think we might still get a couple more. Mm-hmm. Well, the way we're scoring at the moment, there might be some more candidates.
This is very much, because I mean, the deadline for actually submitting this is the 30th of April.
Yeah.
So there's still sort of time to actually get through on that particular basis. So worst goals conceded, I suppose the same applies to that. Any thoughts on that one? I like to block them out of my mind.
Right? I know, I do as well.
I'm thinking possibly the own goal that was bounced off one of the Borough defenders in the early part of the year.
Yeah, and you mentioned Burton Albion, of course. That goal right in the last minute, and there's been a lot of last-minute goals.
Yep.
But actually, also, you've got to say that we've just played Ipswich. If you've got the reverse fixture, the first game of the season, we were 1-0 up at half-time. Those goals in the second half... had a massive bearing on the rest of the season.
Absolutely. Of course, we spoke to one of our Ipswich Town fans as well at the time.
Oh, we did. Yeah, he wasn't confident, was he?
He wasn't. No. And he was right not to be. Obviously, looking at how Ipswich proceeded.
How it panned out.
Exactly. Even under Paul Jewell. Signing of the season. Tony Mowbray for me, really. But is that technically a signing? Are we talking about a player signing?
Well, that's it. It's a good point, actually, because there aren't that many signings that have stayed fit or whatever.
Mm.
If you were to say signing within the season, then it's going to be Paul Smith within the season, or the manager, the Tony Mowbray. But, yeah.
Who should we never have let go this season?
We haven't let that many people go, have we?
Probably. I'm thinking probably David Wheater is going to be a shoo-in for this thing, I would have thought. I don't like to comment on best-looking player because beauty's in the eye of the beholder, really. Mm. But, you know, so again, likewise, ugliest player. So make your own best haircut. Well, I just think...
Actually, they're up for grabs, those ones, because the people who've won recently have gone best-looking and ugliest.
It's true, exactly. Best haircut, worst haircut.
There's time yet, isn't there, for a player to get to the barbers?
Yeah, dirtiest Borough player, not our favourite player of all time, Callum.
My childhood hero was Mark Schwarzer.
Really?
Oh, right.
Yeah, he gets my vote.
That's good.
That's interesting. I'll go with Alan Foggan this year, I think.
Alan Foggan?
Yeah. Because I just thought the Hickton-Foggan relationship was really quite dynamic in the Jack Charlton dance.
And everyone else always says Hickton, so you're going to go Foggan.
Exactly.
Because, yeah.
Precisely. That's the point. Precisely so. Best team that Borough played this season? Queen's Park Rangers?
QPR. I also thought Swansea were really good at the Riverside. Where you almost beat them, obviously. Oh. They turned it around the last few minutes, but they're classy the way they play football.
Very
16 and 17, a couple of interesting sort of, I suppose, general surveys, really. How many home games have you been to? How many away games have you been to?
Yeah. if because Tony, we find that in that's changed quite a lot, as you might imagine, in the last few years, and that the number 17 has been like very few.
Another line with why not? You know, why haven't you been attending the whole thing? That's the important thing.
Yes.
Question 18: if Tony Mowbray had been manager at the start of the season, where would we have finished? I think it would have been a playoff place.
Yes,
promotion
next
season. I think it would have been a playoff place. I think he had a number of ranges of things to do. What would you say, Callum?
It's hard to say in hindsight. Just outside the playoffs, maybe.
I do like question 19. A few words, please, to summarise your feelings on Borough seasons. You can actually say, answers on a postcard, not more than 10 words, etc., etc.
Yeah.
An interesting line, that. We'll leave that to the creatives. I'm sure Kadeem Hussain will actually have a piece of poetry to just drop straight in there, basically.
It could be, again, a season of two halves, eh?
Very much. Do you believe Tony Mowbray can get us promoted next season? Yes, of course, as I said.
Do you know that these last questions, I've just changed the name Tony Mowbray from Gordon Strachan last season, and do you know that every single person... do you believe Gordon Strachan can get promoted next season? Every single person said yes.
Did I say yes?
I don't know. I don't remember you answering filling yours in.
We're going to have to play that back on the system. Finally, your opinion on FMTTM. What do you like? What could we do better? Well, everything is good, isn't it, really? And you couldn't do anything better other than you could actually have included what do you like about FMTTM, the podcast. Do you listen to it?
Oh, yes.
I just threw that in there.
Yes.
As far as people might have. Just an observational style. Mm-hmm. Callum, let's move on to your point. You're currently dealing with archive material. You did a wonderful article on the web archive nature of Fly Me to the Moon, the history of. Talk to us about that.
Well, basically, it's a website that's been set up to archive the period of Middlesbrough's history, the first 100 fan issues of Fly Me to the Moon. And it basically picks out articles and the main points from those 100.
People forget, Callum, when they actually shell out their 150 for Fly Me to the Moon, not only are they getting a wonderful incisive and insight into the fans' view of Middlesbrough Football Club, they're getting a piece of living history.
That's right.
That's the important thing.
Miniborough.com, I think, is the website, and the bloke who's done it has put issue 15 on today because when we're actually doing this broadcast now, it's the anniversary, sadly, of the Hillsborough tragedy, and in issue 15 there was quite a lot of stuff talking about that tragedy when it was quite fresh in people's minds.
We shall refer to that and use it as a resource in the fullness of time. I do love the way you use archive as opposed to archive. That's wonderful. That's great. Heaven only knows how he's going to do his sight reading later on in the show, but never mind. Good stuff. Rob, the Britain's Got Talent. Yes, we know it has, but Borough's Got Talent as well. What's this all about with, is Andrew Taylor looking to be the next David Hasselhoff? Is Danny Coyne conceivably Amanda Burton? Is Andrew Halliday a kind of Michael McIntyre-esque comedian?
He was funny, actually. What it was a talent show for secondary school kids held at the Riverside. I think it was about an audience of about 100, so it was quite a sort of... That's a big part of it, isn't it, playing in front of a crowd? And there was representatives from lots of different schools and a big range. Very, very talented, actually. And the judges... You've just mentioned who the judges were. Mm. They had to judge between singers and dancers, dance groups, duos, etc.
And the classic Munya Mangoni and Brandon Robson.
They were brilliant. They
Mangoni
were like robotic Robson. Dancers.
Yeah, yes. Indeed, yeah. Is that a photograph of Mangoni and Robson actually on at the top that we actually see? They're doing their robotic dancing.
It is.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, well done to Mangoni and Robson. Not to be confused, of course, with Robson and Jerome.
Not to be,
who, of course, had a different sort of line in terms of I believe and so on and so forth. So you got a chance to speak to these fine guys. I mean, is there a general sense that, yes, it's been a challenging season, but fundamentally things are on the up now from the players' perspective as much as anybody else's, Rob?
Yeah, definitely. And that was interesting because that talent show happened about 3 weeks ago and I spoke to Andy Halliday afterwards and he had been nowhere near the team at that point. And just to listen to him talking about, I just got the sense that he was a player that was going to feature largely next season. He's a man who's been getting one-to-one training by one of the coaches, so they obviously... think a lot of them, there's definitely a great atmosphere around the whole camp, and I'm just watching the matches, as Callum will bear out, that there's a belief that even when we go a goal down, which we often do, we can bounce back not only to draw but to win a game, and the players all believe that and the fans believe that, and that if we can keep that going to the end of the season, that's a great sort of way to to carry it on till next season.
Very much so. Vicky Lee announces the fact that a poem was displayed at the clubhouse of Cader and Winnebanks Football Club in Acklam. She believes it's got a very strong meaning because it's the type of attitude which is shown to children all around the country. It's called Let Children Play. Callum, you're going to read it for us. Away you go.
They stand on the field with their hearts beating fast. The whistle has blown, the die has been cast. Mam and Dad cannot help, they stand all alone. A goal at this moment would mend their team home. The ball's near their foot, they kick, and it misses. There's a moan from the crowd, some boos and some hisses. A thoughtless voice cries, bring on a sub. Tears fill their eyes, it's no longer fun. If you're ever tempted to cheat or to groan, remember it's a child who stands all alone. So open your heart and give them a break. It's moments like these a play you make. Keep this in mind, please don't forget. They are only children, they are not adults yet.
Gina has almost in tears thereof. It's like a plea from the heart, really. You know, don't shout at your little youngster because he's made a mistake. Don't shout at the ref. Have a bit of respect. Don't pressurise them. Look at the Brazilians and the Dutch people. They don't do that.
That's very true. It's very, very sad that has to be displayed because we hear so much about this, these problems with parents shouting at the kids. And I'm sure many people listening to this will know. I mean, I've seen it myself, and how are you supposed to coach when there's a parent shouting that the little kid to do
effing the and jeffing and all the
effing
rest of it?
Effing and jeffing, absolutely.
We don't want that. No, yeah, please, no, put it to one side. Talking about supporters and various other bits and pieces, the Football Supporters Federation has launched a petition, www.fsf.org.uk, safe standing. Do you wish for a return to the Hallgate days, Rob?
Yeah, and obviously it's pertinent. We're seeing this on the day of the Hillsborough disaster, which we have to respect and that. But this is not calling for a return to the
cages
that we had then. Not, I suppose it's not calling for a return to cages. Not calling for a return to the Hallgate or the Leffin Lane end. Really, it's calling for a recognition that there should be some discussion about it again. It's safe to stand in Germany, it appears. On seats that fold back and
because they're so organised there, Rob.
Yeah, but it's safe to stand at various other sporting events, but isn't at football. And I would add to that the fact that maybe for the last three seasons, I would say at least 50% of away games, as a supporter, you stand the whole game.
Which is the interesting point, because obviously people who do actually go to sit, they'd prefer to sit. And if you have a choice, you have that opportunity to actually stand if you want to stand, and if you want to sit, you can sit.
Yeah, I don't believe there's ever been an incident from that. And I think there was a safety report done about 3 years ago from Manchester area, which said, and it makes common sense, that the most unsafe standing is when there is a goal or something and people suddenly jump up in their seats, whereas... Yeah. If they were standing all the time.
Exactly.
So I think the debate, it has to be separated from the politics and it has to be done sensibly, but surely that it has to be opened again.
Interesting time. A day when we all used to stand, those of us who were here in previous incarnations, 1877, South Bank Football Club. The Spider has contributed this little article.
Yeah.
In January 1974, one of the first American college teams arrived on Teesside. She talks about that. He talks about various others. Talk to us how he got into South Bank Football Club.
Let's see. Of course, the Northern League is the second oldest league in the world, as far as football is concerned, which is amazing. And South Bank was, what is it, a year after Middlesbrough Football Club, I think?
And strangely, in the team lineup, no sign of Paul Daniels whatsoever. Really thought he'd be there, but no, still. Maybe it was just Debbie who was actually around for that.
Maybe.
But a wonderful thing. And he concludes with one of the reasons Middlesbrough FC turned professional was their defeats against South Bank, one in the Charity Cup and the next season in the English Cup. It doesn't turn to be the best reason for turning professional, basically, being
to
defeated.
Avoid, yeah.
Exactly.
Avoid South Bank at all costs.
Blue Jam are performing outside the Riverside Stadium for the Barnsley game. Any news about Blue Jam? Last season's popular and spectacular act.
They were, weren't they? Yeah. Yes. No, I look forward to that. I think the bands are now going to be finishing at 2 o'clock, so it's a bit earlier. So you need to get down the stadium a bit earlier. Yeah, there were a band that we were talking about talent, weren't we? Didn't they? They progressed in Britain's Got Talent in 2008. They got well through it, and they're a big sort of they were at school in those days in Stockton. They're like a jazz blues band, Blues Brothers sort of thing with a brass section and everything.
Everybody needs a Blue Jam to love.
Yeah.
It's a different
Well done.
Thanks for working with Callum. Give me a number between 1 and 10, please.
5.
Your question: who are the last non-league team to reach the FA Cup final? Currently in Division 1. Who are the last non-league team to reach the FA Cup final? If you want the answer, don't wait for this particular show. Get the magazine. That's what we say. It's in the magazine itself. Fly Me to the Moon, issue 486.
Tottenham Hotspur, I guess. I might be wrong. I might be wrong.
Interesting. Yes. anyway, how do people? Well, I suppose ultimately you'd say just pick up the. Have we got? Because we've got two more programs left after this.
Yes.
Should they subscribe or should they just actually wait and buy them?
I don't think I'd bother subscribing at this stage, to be honest.
We just hold fire on that particular thing, effectively. Callum, any message you'd like to send out to the lads as they go out to take the field against the Tykes of Barnsley?
Keep going.
Keep going.
Keep going.
He's almost got a kind of Tony Mowbray-ish sort of vogue in the whole thing.
Yeah.
Sort of prediction for the result?
2-0.
2-0 would do fine, wouldn't it?
Yeah, 2-0 is a fairly solid game. We might well look to it towards that. Okay, Rob's presumably drained you in this. Have you enjoyed your time spent with Rob Nichols and Fly Me to the Moon?
Very much so, yes.
So, has he passed the test? Is he likely to be a regular Rob? We don't know.
He's done loads. Yeah, he's done.
Fantastic stuff. Well, he'd obviously know the way we actually wrap up all these podcasts, this particular one, issue 486, the companion to the whole piece, and it's two classic lines that we wrap up with those classic scenarios. So, Rob, I shall allow you to actually take the lead in this as ever.
Come on, Borough.
And?
Up the Borough.
From Middlesbrough to the world, this is Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.